Traditionally, when we speak about praying for the souls in purgatory and avoiding purgatory, there are three main ways that we can do this. First, by the Mass. Second, by prayers, including indulgences. And the third, by things like fasting. And hidden within fasting are all types of penances that people often don't talk about. Many have been asking me, how can I do penance for the souls in purgatory and to avoid purgatory? We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, before we continue, we need to talk about a couple of things for us to understand. First, the question of, is penance something that is extreme? Let's look at the context of the world in which we live. When we look at athletes, they do all types of crazy things. Football players get hurt, they injure themselves, and all Olympic athletes break bones and fall and get concussions. They do all these things to earn money, to gain medals. They do incredibly crazy things in their training, fasting, and doing all types of things, and no one says anything. For them, it's okay. And then we see doctors and lawyers and other people killing themselves, not spending time with family, working ungodly hours, spending unbelievable amounts of money for their training for those degrees, and no one says anything. So in our world, if you whip yourself to make money or for power or for beauty, that's great. That's the latest TikTok trend. But if you do it for God, it's all of a sudden wrong. And there is immense hypocrisy in the question, is penance extreme? The answer is no. People and in the secular world do penance all the time. People go and get surgeries, plastic surgery for beauty, going under anesthesia and being cut all over the place. Doesn't that look like penance? Doing penance for God is the most amazing thing ever. And people do penance all the time in the secular world for power and for money and for beauty. So if you can do it for those things, you can do it for God. The second question is the issue of obedience. How can we do penance under obedience? As lay people, we do not have the benefit of obedience, and we cannot claim obedience in the same way because we have not made a vow of obedience or a promise of obedience. So when we speak of obedience, and sometimes people will ask, well, have they gone to their bishop? Are they obedient to their spiritual director? We can't use those words in the same way because we haven't made the vow or the promise. The only people that can kind of claim obedience are those that have made the vow or the promise, priests and men and women religious. They are under obedience to their local superiors. And even when they're given a spiritual director, they're given the spiritual director under obedience. So as lay people, we're just under this general obedience. The benefit is you have more freedom. The drawback is you can make some mistakes, and there's simply nothing you can do to avoid that. You have to use prudential judgment. So let me give you some general guidelines to help you with this. As a lay person, you can and should do penance so long as it does not interfere with your daily duties. Your duty to your spouse, your children, and your work. Those things. Do those things first, and second comes penance. Second, find people that you can trust, where you can listen to them and work within prudence. What makes sense? Don't jump from 0 to 60 without gradually getting there. Begin with ordinary penances, build up over time, grow in your spiritual life, stay within reason. However, you will find that the example of the saints constantly push reason. When you get to that place, you simply have to take risks. There's no guarantees that we as lay people have because we do not and are not protected by the vow or promise of obedience. So now let's continue to some examples of what some of the saints did and doing penance. The main example that I want to give you are the children of Fatima, because often we get examples from other saints. In fact, I was going to use St. Gemma Galgani, St. Catherine of Siena, and St. John Newman, a bishop here in the United States. But these are adults, so people can often see these examples and say, oh, well, they're holy saints. We cannot imitate them. Let me give you examples from children and the penances that they did, both to humble us and to show you that it is possible and we should do it. For instance, the children of Fatima, especially after seeing the vision of hell, began doing a number of different penances especially Saint Jacinta. First, they would give up their lunch. They would go out to the field and work. They would have their lunch, and instead of eating it, essentially they would fast. They would give it away, and they wouldn't eat for the whole day. If they can do it, we can do it. Secondly, they would wear cords. They would wear a rope with knots in it around their waist as a type of simple penance. This must have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Where did they learn this? We don't know. However, the Blessed Mother did appear to them and tell them only to wear it during the day and not at night so that they can sleep well. Notice that the Blessed Mother did not tell them not to wear it at all. She just said only wear it during the day. If they can do it, we can do it. Not drinking water, especially during the hot Portuguese summers, they would often intentionally let themselves be thirsty, and Jacinta particularly thinking of those that go to hell without anyone to pray or offer sacrifices for them. They would also intentionally eat bitter foods such as acorns, pine nuts, berries and mushrooms, other things that were maybe raw or not fully ripe as a type of penance. We can do this also. And probably some of those bitter foods are actually good for you. They would do these things, not to mention long hours of prayer on their knees, praying fully bent over with their forehead touching the floor until their back would hurt. They would do all types of things for poor sinners. If the children of Fatima, who were like 8, 10, and 12, did it, it's okay for us to do it, especially for the souls in purgatory. Now, let's talk about at least four reasons why we want to do penance and what penance is for. The first major reason is for atonement for our sins. The second major reason is an atonement for the sins of others. And this is especially where we can do penance for the sins of other people in purgatory. There has been at least several stories that I have shared with you in different videos where there was this one particular person who had a vision of purgatory. And after seeing all the sufferings that he saw in purgatory, the penances that he did were horrific. For instance, if I recall correctly, he would submerge himself in ice cold water, praying the entire time. And people would come to him saying, "You're so extreme." And he said, if you saw the sufferings of purgatory, this is nothing. This is nothing compared to the sufferings in purgatory. And we can think of hell and think of purgatory when we're doing penances, realizing it's really nothing. We're doing nothing compared to what we might suffer in the afterlife. The third major reason, and something that people completely forget, is to bring your body and its passions into submission. This is incredibly important. Just like you have to sometimes break a horse to make it manageable, sometimes it's simply not enough that through prayer and through the sacraments, we have to do this extra thing. We have to bring our body into submission through penance. All the saints did this: flagellation on their knees, hair shirts, chains around their waist, all types of things to bring their passions such as lust and gluttony and anger and greed. Saint Jerome famously would beat himself with rocks until he conquered his own anger. This has been the tradition of the church since the beginning. The fourth major reason that we may want to do penance, and this is another one that we have largely forgotten in today's church, is to obtain things. We don't even speak about this language anymore. Right now, we have this sense of just ask God for something. If he says yes, you get it. If he says no, you don't. There's not this sense of obtaining. The idea that if we continue to ask and we persist in asking, we will eventually obtain the thing that we're wanting to. For instance, obtaining the grace of purity, obtaining the grace of contemplative prayer, obtaining the conversion of another person. There's this sense that we just simply don't have any power to move God's will, or if he says no, we should just stop praying. Not true. We can, through penance, obtain more graces than we could if we didn't do penance. An example off the top of my head, and it could have been St. Anthony of Padua or St. Francis of Assisi. I'm not exactly sure which one it was, but at one point, one of those was struggling with lust intensely. So they went to these thorn bushes and rolled around in them as a type of penance. Various saints have done this. Now, two things happened. First of all, those rose bushes no longer had thorns. They miraculously had the thorns removed. And even to this day, you can go and see them, that these are thorn bushes. Or these are rose bushes that don't have thorns. The second thing is that saint obtained from God because of his penance the grace of purity for the rest of his life. Other saints have, for instance, obtained the grace of never again committing a mortal sin. Now, why would God want you to do penance to obtain some of these different graces? And it's because of human psychology. The more that we pay for something, the greater we value it. If you have two Toyota Corollas and you pay $20,000 for one and $100,000 for the other, no matter who you are, you're going to value the $100,000 Corolla significantly more. In the same way, God, some graces, he will not give them to us cheaply. We have to pay a heavy price. It's not enough to ask. It's not enough just to move air through prayer with our mouth. We have to suffer in our bodies to experience the value of the thing that we're about to receive. In regards to the souls in purgatory, if God uses pain and fire to purify the soul, then we can use penances here on earth to purify our soul and body here, but also purify the souls in purgatory there. Follow the example of the children of Fatima. Do not be afraid. Seek wise people to advise you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And listen to the words of the Savior himself. Take up your cross and follow me. I will see you in the next one.